Duke's Mayo. Do you get it? Because only the ones that get it really get it. Your friends get it. Your mom gets it. Your grandma gets it. Your neighbors get it. Sometimes a dog gets it. Get out of there. What else? Your potato salads get it. BLTs get it. Tailgates get it. And restaurants get it too. By now, even you probably get it. So get it today. Made without any sugar since 1917, Duke's is that little southern something that makes good things better. Get Duke's. It's got twang.
This episode, and every episode of the Beer Guys Radio Show, is brought to you by Ironmonger Brewing. Visit Ironmonger at their taproom in Marietta, Georgia, or online at ironmongerbrewing.com.
Open up a tab, grab a seat, and pour a pint. It's time for the Beer Guys Radio Show.
You want free beer? Go to the brewery.
Dedicated to the art, science, and enjoyment of craft beer.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got?
Now, here are your hosts, Tim Dennis and Brian Hewitt.
Welcome to the Beer Guys Radio Show. We're broadcasting from the Beer Guys Radio Studios in Marietta, Georgia. And this week we are talking beers for your big game watch party. With me, as always, is my good friend and co-host, Brian Hewitt. Brian, you know, they call those drinking beers, Brian.
They do,
We're talking drinking beers.
Drinking beers. That's what we're all about. We're going to sample a few of those party-worthy drinking beers today, the craft ones, talk about some big game beer and food pairings, and even get into some beer versus beer head-to-head matchups, kind of inspired by the big game. We were going to have Nubias Wilborn join us to talk about the big game, but he's been held up, so you've just got Brian and Tim for now.
We can do this, I think.
I think we can.
You know, I think everybody knows what we're talking about when we say the big game, because the NFL is very guard of that. And Brian, I looked up a lot of info on whether or not we could say Super Bowl.
Can we?
We can say it. You can't use it in marketing or advertising. Like I'm not going to use it in the title of the podcast when we launch that. But we can mention it, and especially if Nubias was here to talk sports. When you're covering it as a sports journalist, you're allowed to use the phrase. It's probably just safest for us to just keep saying the big game. Everybody knows what that means anymore.
Yeah, I think so. Everybody knows the big game.
Absolutely. And that we went to kind of a big game of craft beer last weekend.
We did.
A big game of Cask Ales here in Atlanta. The 15th annual Atlanta Cask Ale Tasting. That's our third year going, and we've made it a tradition that we talk to a few of the breweries in planning here in our home state of Georgia when we go to the Cask Ale Tasting, and we sit up there and do a show. So we talked to the guys from the Bold Monk, John Roberts, known as JR here to his friends, who currently owns Max Lager's Brew Pub here in Atlanta, and he is opening the Bold Monk. We also talked to the guys from Schoolhouse Beer, which also owns Schoolhouse Beer and Brewing right now, which they're going to get rid of. That is a growler and homebrew store. They're going to, as they put it, graduate up to having a craft brewery. We also talked to Sean Bainbridge and Joran von Ginderachter, who are opening Halfway Crooks Brewing here in Atlanta, one that a lot of people are looking forward to. And Yarn was previously with Three Taverns here,
indeed,
another popular brewery in Atlanta.
Yeah. It's interesting to get the perspective of people opening up a brewery that were already in some way involved in the beer industry. So you had the growler and package store and actually homebrew store, and then you have a guy who's already got a brewery open. So they've got a different perspective on what it takes to open
a
brewery.
They've been through it a little bit, so they kind of know what they're getting into there. So what else did you get into? You had some fun. You partied this week, right?
Yeah. So the ACAT took up a lot of Saturday, but I actually went to a kid's birthday party. And I know the parents. And they throw down a pretty mean kid's birthday party. They had craft beer there. They have all kinds of interesting festivities. It was actually pretty cool, but I got a little bearded iris there. A little, barrel-aged porter. I'm forgetting the name, but it's actually not owned by a craft beer company anymore, so it's not a big deal. But there was some good beer options.
Is there a difference in the traditions for a Korean birthday party compared to an American birthday party?
Oh, sure. They had a thing where when the kid hits one, they lay out a bunch of different tokens that depict different possible life paths, like career choices, and the kid, whichever one the kid picks, is theoretically what they're going to do in
life.
Got it's
that
kinda
kid
fun.
Playing the game of life at one.
Yeah,
huh?
That's right. So that was pretty fun. Also, the big thing, the most interesting thing, I think, of the week for me, aside from ACAT, of course, is the that big Blood Moon. And I drank a Duchess Cherry to celebrate the Blood Moon, thinking that was appropriate, and then followed that up the next day with a Redheaded Haley, which I would have had that day had I thought of it and had I had it with me. But some had red
you,
beers.
Had you had a Haley with you?
Yeah. Had I had it, I would have had it. That's right.
That's so true, Brian. That is so true. Now, wasn't there a super fancy name for this special Blood Moon that we had?
Oh, geez. Yeah.
The Blood Wolf Super Double, I think, Big Mac Double Wolf Moon,
I think it was,
right?
Super Tramp Blood Moon.
<That's>, yes.
Steppenwolf.
Lots of
something
names.
Like
Steppenwolf.
That, yes. All right, Tim, I think it's time for the beers of the week.
Crack open a cold one. It's the Truck and Tap Beer of the Week.
Woo-hoo!
Craft beer and food trucks in downtown Woodstock.
Truckandtap.com.
Well, Brian, as always, we've got a good selection of beers to get into, but we're going to present just a little bit differently this week due to our matchup, due to our big game of drinking beers. So we're going to drink a couple beers in each segment, pick our favorite out of those, and then the winners are going to go to head-to-head, Brian, and we'll pick a champion of drinking beers. So here in this first round, we have Rogue Yellow Snow, and it's going up against Oscar Blue's Little Yellow Pils, Brian. Now, these are both fizzy yellow beers, both pilsners, so taking them head-to-head. Some slight differences here. You know, Yellow Snow was an IPA at one point. They changed it over to a pilsner, and they have some Oregon spruce tips in this one.
Yes, they do.
And you're a spruce tip fanboy, right?
I am a fan. That was part of the reason I picked this, but also because it has name recognition. I have some history with the beer back at least 15 years ago, probably more, when it was an IPA. A friend and I picked it for their wedding party. So it was the official keg at the wedding party. We went around sampling a lot of craft beers over in Portland, Oregon, and then we wore kilts and drank it.
You wore kilts, huh?
Absolutely.
Okay, good stuff. And then the Little Yellow Pils is called a Mountain Pilsner and is a gold medal winner, and it claims to be the antidote to watered-down macro pilsners.
That sounds exciting. I need some anecdotes.
Yes. You know, Brian, I'm going to give you a good story that you may recall one time when you took a trip out to the Northwest, and you did a little spruce tip farming or foraging for us out there,
yes,
didn't you?
Yes, I did.
So we were homebrewing at the time, and we decided that since they were in season, since the spruces were tipping at the time we were out there.
They were tipping.
And I don't know what you got, Brian. I'm not sure they were spruce tips. I know they were very mustardy.
Yeah. It.
And we didn't die, so apparently they were edible or drinkable.
So, yeah, I thought they looked like spruces. I did some studying online trying to get good at identifying. I still, whenever I go back, I go and take a look at the tree because that's where I got it. It's a kind of legendary tree for
me. You
got
to go back.
The people that own it have no idea. It just it grows over a parking lot. So I was just out there grabbing tips off the tree that were in the public area. But yeah, it got a little mustardy. It's a shame, yeah. But it had some potential.
You know, those people may know that spruce tips can be used for brewing and that, consider there. But if they didn't, they'd just look out there and see some crazy bearded guy pulling the tips off of their tree.
Yeah, very likely. It's like, does that homeless guy know you
why
can't
is he,
eat those?
Why is he pulling things off our tree? So what do you think of these beers, Brian? What are your initial thoughts?
So I can tell initially, and I did my best when I'm picking these out to pick the freshest ones I could find. I could definitely tell one is older than the other. I think that the Yellow Snow strikes me as a little sweeter, like a little too sweet for my preference, I think.
Yeah, I don't think the Yellow Snow, I don't think it does it for me, Brian. And I don't think I am a fan of spruce tips. I should throw that out there, that I do have some bias here because I'm balancing all things balance, Brian.
Yes, yes.
And I'm balancing your love of spruce tips with my dislike of them.
I've had them done well in a few beers, but unfortunately I don't think this is the beer. I'm going to have to say that I prefer the Yellow Pils over the Yellow Snow, even though I can tell that the Yellow Pils is probably an older beer than the Yellow Snow. I can taste just a hint of the age in it, but I think it's still a solid beer.
I think the little Yellow Pils wins for me too. That's a pretty tasty beer. It's a good drinking beer. So I think our winner, Brian, unanimously here is the Oscar Blue's Little Yellow Pils. So, Brian, real quick, how about a news story for us here?
From the Oh You Don't Say desk, scientists have found that craft beer should be kept chilled and consumed fresh, according to a study recently published by German researchers in the Brewing Science Journal. So to learn what craft beer fans have known anecdotally for years, scientists studied the unique aroma compounds in craft beer and how they fade with time, specifically one called 4-MMP, not going to try to pronounce the full name of it. It smells like black currant, and it's common in American hops, but not in their European cousins. So after 3 months of cold storage, that hop odor compound had diminished by more than a third, and if the beer is kept at room temperature, something we we know, the loss is even greater, as much as 70% in 3 months. And unexpectedly, there seems to be more of the compound in filtered beers than unfiltered beers, which is exactly the opposite of what you would expect. Researchers noted that in their findings, but they couldn't explain why there would be more of that aroma compound in filtered beer.
Maybe just the, you know, the yeast and kind of the living stuff in the beer there. If it's not pasteurized or filtered, maybe that environment is a little more conducive to keeping the hops fresh. Sounds plausible, right?
Yeah, theoretically. Or
let's go with that. We're going to say that's scientific fact. Okay. You're listening to the Beer Guys Radio Show. We do need to take a break, but we'll be back very soon with our next matchup of drinking beers.
Craft beer forged with a reverence for tradition and new styles that start a revolution. Ironmonger Brewing. The brewers at Ironmonger Brewing pride themselves at being masters of barrel-aged, hoppy, and sour beers. They invite you to their tap room in Marietta, Georgia, to taste and see. Also visit their barrel room for an intimate drinking experience with great live entertainment. Keep up to date on all things Ironmonger by liking them on Facebook. Ironmonger Brewing, establishing a new standard in craft beer.
Looking for a great way to promote your business? CedarStream has what you need. For apparel, stickers, signs, and banners, we're your one-stop shop. There are never any art fees or setup fees. And if you need your items quickly, there's no additional charge for rush orders. Whether you own a brewery, bar, bottle shop, or other business, CedarStream is ready to serve you. Visit CedarStream.com for more info or call 800-686-7488 for immediate assistance. CedarStream. We print America.
The Beer Guys on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
The numbers all go to 11.
Does that mean it's louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it?
Now, back to the Beer Guys Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Beer Guys Radio Show. If you missed an episode, don't worry. All episodes are available as a podcast. Subscribe on your favorite podcasting app and never miss a show. And now it's back to big game beer talk.
Big game beers, Brian. You have your watch party. You have a good time.
Sure.
You get some foods. We threw a pre-big game watch party here tonight. Got us some wings and stuff to go along with our drinking beers. So we got to know that we're talking the truth. We got to know that these are going to pair well with your big game party foods, Brian. So we did that. And recapping round one, we had Rogue Yellow Snow versus the Oscar Blues Little Yellow Pills. And we actually asked Sam, and we ended up 2-for-1 on that. We both preferred, Brian, the Little Yellow Pills, and Sam was a Yellow Snow guy there.
He was. He does like the Yellow Snow.
So it's it happens. You know, some people do. Some people never learn, and they continue to eat and drink the Yellow Snow. Absolutely. So, Brian, we're up into our next round here. What beers are we taking head-to-head now?
All right, so for the next round, we've got Atlanta Brewing Company's Homestand. It's a 5.2% Pilsner. And we've got Creature Comfort's Bebo, which is a 4.9% Pilsner. So they're both kind of the Atlanta area. So we've got an Atlanta versus Athens Pilsner showdown right here. But they are two local staples of people who are the Pilsner drinkers. Both of them feature some U.S. hops, but the Bebo is a little bit more traditional in that it has Czech saws and, well, Huel Mellon, I guess, is not too traditional. Really.
No, but that's in the Bebo, the Huel Mellon?
Yes, Huel Mellon and Czech saws and U.S. Sterling. So, but the ABC Homestand is Mosaic and Cascade, and I do like those hops a great deal.
Good hops.
So, Tim, do you have some thoughts about this matchup?
I do. I will say this, in our two rounds so far, Brian, this so far, out of two rounds, has been the closest matchup. These beers are very, very close to each other, very equally paired in terms of quality. I think I get a little more hop presence in the Homestand.
Yes.
I get a little more of the grain sweetness in the Bebo, but they're darn close to each other.
I have a favorite, but it pains me to pick one between the two.
That's close. I'd be happy if I went to a Super Bowl party and either of these beers were available as the drinking beer of the day, I'd be totally happy with either of those choices.
High fives all around for picking.
Absolutely. Either one. Yes, better than the cooler of macros that you'll find it at many a watch party. But, Brian, okay, time to come to Jesus here. What is your favorite? Pick your favorite child here.
I have to go Bebo on this. I tried to in my head. I couldn't.
Why? Why did Bebo take this one for you?
I think there's a little bit more balance to it. The character of it is just a little bit more like what I want. I like the homestand a great deal, but I'm like, for just the classic all-around Pilsner, the one I know, like, I don't know if there would ever be a time when I dislike the other one, but I think that the Bebo would be more likely to be always on my list of I want to drink that, you know?
This is something that I will probably never say again in my life, but I agree with you 100%.
Wow.
On that, yes. The exact same reasons that you chose Bebo or why I would choose Bebo. If I'm looking at Pilsners, I'm looking at a drinking beer like this, these low ABV Pilsners, the Bebo hits that style for me. If I've just mowed the yard, then I'm going to get, you know, I'm going to grab a Bebo. Not that homestand isn't fantastic, but there's a little more character, a little more craftiness, if you will, to that one with the hop presence and that.
Yeah.
A clean Pilsner cut, Bebo takes it for me. So, and Sam, I think you said Bebo was your winner as well, huh? So that this one's unanimous. Bebo by a slim margin, by a very tough pick here.
Yes.
We went Bebo. So, Brian, I think you got some pairing selections together for us. So if we're sucking down some Bebos at our party, what's going to be the foods that we want to snack on with this?
Well, you know, when it comes to the list of the typical things you see at the big game parties, one of the things that's recommended to go with Pilsner is actually wings.
Okay.
Wings could go either Pilsner, depending on what you have on the wings, or an actual IPA. So the bolder end, you maybe go to IPA, but on the lighter end, you know, maybe, I don't know, lemon pepper, or just a milder, you know, sauce on them, you go with the Pilsner. And what happens is you've got that a little bit of hops, a little bit of spiciness to cut through, like, the fattiness and the richness of the wings.
If you're partying here in Atlanta, get those lemon pepper wets going.
And we did.
Yes, we did. You know, I know there's rules for pairing beer and food, you know, the complement or the contrast flavors, you know, this cuts the fat, that does this and that, but a Pilsner is a pretty solid all-around choice for party foods. I mean, you know, your Pilsner beer, if you have a clean Pilsner, you're not really focused necessarily on the taste of your beer. You just want something good to kind of wash down the pizza and the wings and the chili and the subs and the nachos that you're eating. And even though each of those may have a beer that's perfect to pair with them, you're still going to be pretty happy if you're sipping Pilsners throughout the game.
Yeah, it's all around. It's just anything. I mean, you could even keep drinking this right into the end, where you've, you know, the game is won, your side's won, and you're lighting up the celebratory cigars. It would still go well with those. So just like anything you're doing throughout the big game day, Pilsner. I think you'd go Pilsner with it.
Pilsner's the pick there.
Absolutely
now,
could.
Brian, I said something earlier. Actually, you brought it up that when you go to these parties, there's a chance that there's going to be a cooler full of macros.
Oh, sure.
Out up there. So let's say you go to a party, Brian, and as you mentioned, there's a magical cooler there.
Yeah.
That has every macro beer available in it. What are you going to pull out of your magic cooler?
So my magic cooler, I've actually got like the way out answer, and then I've got the real answer. The way out answer is Caffrey's Irish Red, which is a nitro. It's a nitro Irish.
It's
owned by Miller Coors.
One time I agree with you, and then you come in with this insanity.
No, but for real, that's being silly. But the real one would be Hams. I'd pull a Hams.
Okay,
yeah.
I get
pull
that.
Pull a hammy.
You know what? I would be good with a Hams beer. If we're talking the big, you know, macro beers, I think Genesee Brewery is still considered a craft by their size. Are they macro?
I thought they were macro.
Well,
I'm
you know what? I'm
going to
assume
that
my magic cooler has got some Jenny Creams in it, and I'd pull a Jenny Cream out of that.
It's a safe bet because they're usually located directly next to Hams on the shelf, so I'm guessing that at least a few would fall
there.
In.
It'd be there. They'll tag along. Even if they don't belong there, they'll tag along because that's the way Jenny Cream rocks, man. He's ready to party no matter the case.
Oh, absolutely. You know what's interesting? You know, talking about the pairings, somebody went out there and did a beer pairing for all the different varieties of Doritos that were on the market of, I think, early 2018. Did you see this?
I saw the headline for it, but did not read it.
So, for the nacho cheese, the OG, there's you go with the American Blonde or American Pale Ale, just because you know, the nacho cheese is very forgiving, but it could be easily overwhelmed. It's not the big crazy thing. So you go with that. You got a little bit of the hops in either one of those to help kind of complement it. For the Poppin' Jalapeno, they recommend a smoked lager or rock beer. Which is sounds crazy.
Nothing goes with those, Brian.
But the thing I'm most excited about is Cool Ranch. What would you pair Cool Ranch chips with, Tim?
With a Cool Ranch, a Mountain Dew.
That's not what they're picking. Though there may be a Mountain Dew inspired Goza out there somewhere, or like a Berliner.
Yeah.
I am very interested in trying an Athena or something like that with some Cool Ranch Doritos now.
So that was their suggestion, was like Goza or Berliner.
That's right.
With Cool Ranch.
Because there's kind of a buttermilk lingering flavor to that, and the acidity in those beers helps cut into it, kind of improves everything all around.
We should test that sometime.
I think we should
test it, get a bunch of Doritos. You know, it's the time of the year for Girl Scout cookies, and a lot of places do Girl Scout cookie pairings. But speaking of the chip pairing, the Doritos pairings, our friend Matt Simpson, the beer sommelier, actually worked with the people at Pringles to do the same thing for Pringles. He has a beer pairing for each of their flavors that go through there. So whether you're eating Pringles or Doritos, there is expert advice out there on what beer you should have with it.
This needs to be a show now. This needs to be a thing.
I'm going to start writing pairing articles for chips and stuff and different wings, and every beer is going to be a Pilsner.
That's right.
Pair this with a Pilsner. They all work out well. It's everybody's happy, Brian. So, yeah, get your Doritos or your Pringles and have a good time. You're listening to the Beer Guys Radio Show. We need to take a break, but we'll be back very soon with our next party beer matchup.
Are you thinking about opening a brewery in the Atlanta area? If so, take a look at the Park at Georgetown. This unique community will feature a collection of restaurants, as well as a craft brewery within the new JW Homes luxury development, Dunwoody Green. Conveniently located less than half a mile from I-285, this enclave of restaurants will be the gathering place in Dunwoody. Krim & Associates, the developer of the Park at Georgetown, wants to talk to you. For more information, call Todd Semrau at 404-226-6526.
We are Reformation Brewery, celebrating the Reformer in you. Locally crafted within the renowned Etowah watershed of Woodstock, Georgia, Reformation creates yeast-forward brews full of aroma and flavor crafted to last. Come see us in beautiful Woodstock, Georgia, for a tour and tasting of unique brews that you can't find anywhere else. Reformation Brewery. Set beer free. ReformationBrewery.com.
Follow the Beer Guys on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Boy, that escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
Now, back to the Beer Guys Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Beer Guys Radio Show. I want to give a quick shout-out to one of our great radio affiliates, KBDB HD3 96.7 FM in Forks, Washington. Catch Beer Guys Radio on KBDB every Saturday at 2 p.m. Pacific. Now let's talk more about some big game drinking beers, Tim.
Well, we are going into our third round of our party beers matchup here for your big game watch party, Brian, for you to sit down, watch some football with friends. It's a big weekend for football and beer.
It is, yes.
The biggest.
It's very large.
The biggest. So we're going to share a little later some fun stats on everything people eat and drink.
It's a lot, Tim.
During the Super Bowl
Sunday. It's a lot of eating
Sunday.
And drinking.
Absolutely. Well, our last round matchup, we had Atlanta Brewing Company Homestand versus Creature Comforts Bebo Pills. We all preferred Bebo by a slim margin. It was a close one there. And Brian, I got a bone to pick with you on this matchup.
Oh, no.
You got another Creature beer in here for us.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You can't have the same team playing twice. Is this like a farm team for we got the Gwinnett Braves here? So
well, they do have the benefit of when I was picking out these beers, they do have the benefit of having singles that are readily available, and I went through and grabbing. It's like, oh yeah, we definitely do that, and at the end you realize, oh, we've got two of them. So
all right,
but you know, they do have two of those party beers. So
they do. Well, we're going north versus south.
Yes,
in this one, Brian. So we have Creature Comforts Classic City Lager. And their slogan for this one, Brian, is just good cold beer.
Indeed.
And we have a Narragansett Lager, Brian. And theirs is, "Hi, neighbor, have a Gansett."
That's a very friendly. I would take them up.
Hi,
on
neighbor.
That. Yeah.
Have a Gansett. All right, if you insist.
I'll hand one over. I'll drink it.
Now, you know, one thing I noticed when we poured these is immediately the Gansett is much darker.
Oh, definitely.
Than the Classic City Lager. Considerably darker there. And, you know, I got a fun fact for you, Brian, about Narragansett beer.
Narragansett. Okay.
Do you know who the artist is of the original? They had one of their original logos or mascots was called Chief Gansett, an Indian, which very politically incorrect.
Yes.
But at the time was acceptable. And a little fella named Theodore Geisel.
That does sound familiar.
Yes. Dr. Zeus, Brian.
Did you say Zeus or Seuss?
Zeus. I probably said Zeus. Dr. Zeus. He's like that, but a little more godly.
That's like throwing lightning bolts and drawing.
Dr. Seuss. But yeah, so he's the artist of Chief Gansett, the marketing that they've used for many years. And he was a young man at the time that they came to and said, we'd like you to draw us a new mascot. And they've used that for many, many years in their marketing.
I did a little Googling when you were talking about that in the break, and I saw... I saw a few of those pictures, and in the background, you saw some of those characters you always see in the Dr. Seuss books. I'm like, oh, wow, that's definitely Dr. Seuss.
You know, you may not think about it exactly when you first see it, but if someone tells you that's Dr. Seuss, you're like, absolutely, when you see it, you know very well that that's who it is. So, Brian, these beers matching up to just... drinking beers.
Yeah.
Nothing fancy, no crazy marketing about tones and hop qualities and all of this. Just a good cold beer and hi, neighbor, have a Gansett. So.
Yeah. And they definitely taste like very, you know, no pretension at all. I got, you know, pretty easily Classic City Lager's got this one.
Okay.
It seems like that would be the winner you would expect just because it's the kind of the hometown team. But no, in all reality, I think I enjoyed the lighter, the cleaner. There's a little bit of a kind of a nice little lemony fresh thing going on with it. The other one has a little bit of a...
lemony fresh? Are you drinking Pledge over there?
A little Pledge. Keeping it clean over here, Tim.
Okay, got you.
And the other one has a little bit of an interesting sweetness, and I think that there are a little more adjuncts at play in the Narragansett.
Narragansett.
I'm having trouble with that one.
You know, I lived in New York in my younger days, my young teens. And right on the Finger Lakes, I lived on Lake Owasco, very close to Lake Owasco. And there's a lake there called Skinny Atlas. And there's also a town. And when we first moved there, talking about hard to pronounce northern words, there was we called it Scannatelli's. And we were trying to find out where it was. And we found some locals and we're like, hey, where's Lake Scannatelli's? And they just thought we were out of our minds there. So, and another fun thing that you found out about the Narragansett is it's made in Pawtucket, Rhode Island, correct?
Yes, Pawtucket, Rhode Island.
And our good friend Peter Griffin drinks Pawtucket Patriot beer. That's his beer of choice.
And I have to assume that there is some inspiration involved in that beer from this one. So.
Inspired by, yes. Well, Brian, for me, I think that the Classic City Lager takes it for much the same reasons you said. The Gansett's a little bit heavier, a little sweeter. The Classic City is just cleaner, smoother, easier drinking beer for me. So, Sam, what's your winner? Oh, see, he's bucking us every step of the way here.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
he's got that way.
Narragansett. He's going for that.
That's
so
it.
We've got 2-1 on this one.
They invited their neighbor to have a Gansett, and he said, I'm in.
Yeah, he's totally the guy that would just show up. Yeah, he's like, yeah, I'll be right there.
So, Brian, you had dug up some fun stats on all the stuff that people like to eat. And the quantities.
Yes.
At their Super Bowl party. Tell us a little bit about what people are chowing down on Super Bowl Sunday.
It's pretty impressive. 1.25 billion chicken wings. That is 312,500 chickens worth of chicken wings. Tim, that's a lot.
That's a lot of chickens. Yeah.
So the online chicken wing sales will increase 40% on Super Bowl weekend from the rest of the year. So we're already eating a lot of chicken wings, but it really goes up.
I did the math one time just assuming what people eat in an average restaurant. We have a chain here in Atlanta called Taco Mac that's known for their wings. I ran it up, and just the number of chickens we eat in a year is just mind-boggling. It's a lot, in case you didn't know.
It's 11.2 million pounds of potato chips, and according to something I read that kindly did the calculation for me, that's 186 tractor trailers full of potato chips. Just that's now I wonder how much air is actually filled into those, because you know, with the chip, the chip bags,
if you shake the trailer a little bit,
will it settle out?
There's really not that many chips
in
there.
It's only about 5 pounds in there when you shake it. This is an interesting one. 120 million pounds of avocado, which is the weight of 616,000 average men. So, or, you know, maybe I won't say it, but not as many of us. But.
Right, yes. The weight of 30 beer guys.
That's right, the weight of 30 beer guys. I didn't realize so much avocado. It's a very...
Guac,
it's a,
man.
It's a
you
very hot
guac
thing.
There.
Yeah.
And I guess, avocado toast, your traditional...
That's true. The traditional Super Bowl... big game avocado toast. Oh.
Right.
So about 4 million pizzas are consumed, and those pizzas, if they were put side by side, would stretch from St. Louis to Boston. Which is, that's quite a ways for pizza. That's.
Would you have to change pizza style along the way to fit the part of the country you were passing through?
I imagine you would. I imagine in some places they'd be picking off toppings they didn't like, throwing them away, adding some, you know, that sort of thing. So, of course, we have to talk about the amount of beer. There are 50 million cases of beer that are consumed over that weekend. That's 169 swimming pools full of beer. 3.629 million barrels, which is more than Yingling, the largest craft brewer in the U.S., brews in a given year, and it's way more than the combined annual production of every craft brewery in Georgia.
That's crazy.
It's fantastic. It's amazing.
On one day.
On one day. Unfortunately, about 94%, somewhere between 90 to 94% of those beers are the macros, the
Bud Miller Coors.
So. But as of last year's game, customers are spending about $1.3 billion on beer and cider, which is easily more than double wine or spirits, either one of those. So beer is the name of the game. When
yeah,
it comes to
football's a beer. That's a beer day. Yeah. That's a beer party. You're not breaking out your Chablis.
Yeah.
Right.
The big game Chablis. You know, another thing that I saw in this infographic I was looking at, 72 million rice cakes, which I'm perplexed by this.
Who's eating rice cakes?
I have
at
no
their watch
idea.
Party?
I've never seen a rice cake.
I've never seen a rice cake at a watch party. So
I've just never seen a rice cake, period.
I mean, okay.
What
are you even talking about here?
Yeah, so the average cost of a Super Bowl party in 2018 was $207.16, and about 34% of that was spent on food and about 28% spent on alcohol. So that's the breakout for your costs.
That sounds about right. I could see that. A couple hundred dollars on a good Super Bowl party.
Sure.
Makes sense. You're listening to the Beer Guys Radio Show. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back to wrap up our matchups on drinking beers. It's Brian and Tim, the Beer Guys. If you're like us, no lunch or dinner is complete without a pint or two of craft beer.
Which is why Truck and Tap in downtown Woodstock and Alpharetta are always on our list. Tim, why do they call it Truck and Tap?
Well, the tap part is easy, Brian. They've got 18 of them.
As for the truck part, that's where it gets interesting. Truck and Tap features your favorite Atlanta area food trucks daily, so that way you're getting a different menu every day.
Truck and Tap in downtown Woodstock, Alpharetta, and coming soon to Duluth in 2018. Truckandtap.com. Let them know that the Beer Guys sent you.
Craft beer forged with a reverence for tradition and new styles that start a revolution. Ironmonger Brewing. The brewers at Ironmonger Brewing pride themselves at being masters of barrel-aged, hoppy, and sour beers. They invite you to their tap room in Marietta, Georgia, to taste and see. Also visit their barrel room for an intimate drinking experience with great live entertainment. Keep up to date on all things Ironmonger by liking them on Facebook. Ironmonger Brewing. Establishing a new standard in craft beer.
Follow the Beer Guys on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Cannonball coming.
Now, back to the Beer Guys Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Beer Guys Radio Show. If you enjoy the show, please consider supporting us on Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/beerguys. Patrons can get some cool perks like Beer Guys swag and commercial-free episodes. Now back to some more big game drinking beers, Tim.
Brian, we've had a good time so far. We've drank through quite a few drinking beers, party beers.
We have.
Cooler fillers, Brian. Our matchup last round, we have Narragansett. We had Creature Comforts Classic City Lager and Gansett Brian.
Gansett.
We had those in there.
Hi, neighbor. Have a Gansett.
And, Brian, I got another bone to pick with you. We're picking all the bones. Our list is pretty Georgia heavy here.
Yeah.
But that's kind of appropriate with the Super Bowl being in Atlanta to get some Georgia beers in here, right? But
seems fair. It is happening here, so people are coming here. They will have some of these beers.
Right. For the people coming here, these are some beers. You know, if you're looking for drinking beers, these are some good ones to look out for. But speaking of drinking beers, Brian, we got another matchup, and in this round we're going to pick our overall favorite. But who is our final head-to-head competition?
So the final head-to-head, we have Southbound's Scattered Sun. Both of these are wits, by the way.
Wits.
Southbound's Scattered Sun, it's a 5.2% wit, versus Ironmonger's Too Legit to Wit.
Too Legit to Wit.
Which is a 4.9%.
I love that song.
Yes, Too Legit to Wit. So Southbound is a take on the classic style with coriander and citrus peel, and the other one has a variety of citrus peel. Doesn't mention coriander, but it has, I actually don't have it sitting in front of me, but I believe it's orange, lemon, and grapefruit peel in it. So they're both going for the classic style. There's going to be a little bit of a difference in the actual ingredients. So what are you thinking, Tim?
A little departure from the other ones we had, but still drinking beers, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Still something you can drink on. And full disclosure, I think everybody's aware of this if you listen to the show on a regular basis, and Ironmonger is a Beer Guys Radio partner.
Yes.
But we actually warned them, Brian, ahead of time. Like, yeah, well, you know, if you're in the competition, that's fine, but you got to be prepared for us to be honest here and choose a winner.
Brutally honest.
Brutally honest. Brutally. Maybe too brutally. But
yes.
I'll be honest. These are close.
They are very
close.
These
are extremely, extremely close. And I think our Southbound beer is a little older.
It is, unfortunately. Yeah.
It didn't have quite as much carbonation.
That's true.
If I have to pick one, if I'm backed against a wall, I am going to give the nod to Ironmonger. Ironmonger is a little bit fresher, a little bit cleaner, in my opinion. And I will say that could be impacted by the freshness of the one we're competing with here. We've had that maybe a month or so, but it has been stored in refrigeration.
The entire time,
yes. The one. So tasty. If you like wit beers, and wit beers aren't necessarily my thing, you know, it's not the first one I'm going to go for, but both solid choices. And I think the Ironmonger one is a very good example of the style. Very classic wit beer. And that one gets my nod by a slim margin.
I think I agree with you by a slim margin. I was tasting the two. I might slightly prefer a little bit the Scattered Sun flavor, but I think that the carbonation level kind of makes it for me with the Ironmonger. I think that the other one needed to be a little bit more carved up, and I don't think age, unless the can had a leak or something like that, I don't think age is going to contribute to that so much. I think that's just the nature of it. I would drink either of these very happily. It's a very close thing.
It's another case that if I have to choose one, and I do, because that's what we said we'd do here, Brian. If I have to choose one, I'm choosing the Ironmonger by a very, very slim, slim margin there. So, Sam, how about you, man? Which one gets it for you? Ironmonger.
Ironmonger again.
That is unanimous on this one, Ironmonger. And again, if you're a Whitbeer person, both of these are good choices to go for. You're going to be happy with those.
So far, it's been actually pretty good. We've had two of these have been everybody voted the same way, and then we've had two of them where it was 2-1. So, I mean, it's
a close race.
Yeah.
Are you ready, Brian, to pick your overall favorite, or do we need to take a little breather here and let you get all your calculations out, talk to your bookie and that, and see who the winner is?
Talk to my bookie.
See what the odds are paying?
I think we should tease it. Maybe let's talk a little
football. Well, you know what? Speaking of odds and that, Brian, you actually found some information on some of the crazy things people bet on at the Super Bowl, right?
Yes. Amazing. I would have never thought of this, but the duration of the national anthem at the beginning of the game, people are betting on this. And here's what they're betting on. They're the odds favorite lasting a minute and 45 seconds. But apparently there's been like a 3-year streak that was broken last year of the national anthem taking over 2 minutes. And it's a noteworthy thing that it suddenly started taking less time. So Pink broke that in 2018 by finishing with 1 minute and 53 seconds. So Gladys Knight's doing it this year. She's known for, you know, elaborating on songs and adding a little extra soul to it.
Okay.
So a lot of people are thinking it's going to go over 2, but the money is still on a minute 45 seconds.
Do you know the odds on that, of what we're paying here?
I believe if you bet on it to go a minute 45 seconds, and I'm not 100% sure, I'm sure this has changed, I think you have to bet 160 to win 100. I think that's how it is. That's what I remember.
That's a horrible win.
I think that what that means is if you bet 160, you get 260 back. Okay. Yeah, I think that's how that works.
So, I'm not a gambler, so
no,
I don't know.
I'm not
play,
really either.
If I go to Vegas or something, I'll play around on some tables. I enjoy, like, blackjack, roulette, spin some wheels, go fish. Competitively,
I like just the random nickel dime quarter poker that you play with coworkers and things like that. That's a lot
fun.
Of fun.
Just sit down with a group of guys,
absolutely.
Break out some drinking beers. But Atlanta's getting prepped, man. There's a lot going on now. We've got the signs going up on the side of skyscrapers.
A lot of signs going up, Tim.
There are. That's right. There's a billboard a car dealership owner in New Orleans actually rented several billboards in Atlanta to complain about the bad call in the previous game. Yes, the NFL blew it. BLEAUX.
Yes, so basically the Saints got robbed against Los Angeles. So that's funny that he's. You know, I read somewhere. I don't have the full details, but apparently somebody's also suing and trying to get the game, I guess, replayed.
They did. They said they're trying to get it. They're having a hearing Monday. They're having a hearing this coming Monday to try and get them to replay the game. People are serious about their football and their teams and that. But so we've got the Patriots matching up with the Los Angeles Rams here. This is Super Bowl 53, Brian. It's
53.
The last time.
L-I-I-I.
The last one played in Atlanta was 2000, and it was when I had first moved to. I lived in Atlanta like 98, early 99, moved away for a little bit, came back. But in 2000, there was an ice storm the weekend of the Super Bowl. And there was a lot of complaints there that said they'd never have another Super Bowl in Atlanta again because people knew how to deal with snow, but the sheets of ice on the road.
Not ice.
They didn't know anything about.
You know, speaking about the LIII, do you know why they used Roman numerals in that? I actually looked it up because I did not know.
I don't know why.
So the idea is, and I don't know if this is working, it's to reduce confusion, basically because the championship game or the big game is played in the calendar year following most of the playing of that season. So the 2018 season, the big game is played in 2019. So if they, what do you call that? Do you call that Super Bowl 2018? You call it Super Bowl 2019? What they decided to do is just take the numbers and for some reason, instead of just using numbers, maybe because it looks cooler, use Roman numerals.
That did not explain why they use Roman numerals. It just explained why they use numbers instead of the year.
But that they started doing it. They made this decision at Super Bowl V, and they've done it ever since. So
okay,
they think it.
You know, I still have a tablecloth with Super Bowl XL on it that looks like a football field.
Yeah,
from a previous watch party.
Yes, the XL. Yeah, that was a good one. I also
Yeah,
the XXX one and the
triple
XX one. Yes, those are all
good
those
Super
are always
Bowls.
Fun
great
ones.
Super
yes.
Bowls. But that's a true story. I do have a Super Bowl XL tablecloth. I'm not just making fun of extra large there. So, Brian, it's time for us to start wrapping up here, and we got to state our overall winners. So we've had four rounds here of drinking beers, and what one is taking the trophy for you, Brian?
I think pretty handily the Bebo. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Sam, I'm going to go to you next. Which Bebo, I tell you what, guys.
Is it unanimous?
It's unanimous. I would give it to Bebo as well. If I'm looking for a drinking beer, something I can drink through the whole party, Bebo Pilsner is that beer.
It's an impressive beer. It's not one I drink very often, but every time I do, I'm like, well, this is a great beer. I should drink this more often.
Yeah. You know, I think I enjoyed all the beers we had here pretty well, except I wasn't a big fan either of the Mama's Little Yellow Pills or the Yellow Snow. Those two, I had to pick a winner there, but all the others were pretty good. Gansett was a little sweet and bold, but other than that, all these Georgia beers you picked out, Brian. Pretty solid stuff.
I was most disappointed by Yellow Snow in that it was
because that hits all the notes that you like there.
Yes, so, all the fun, nostalgic, and whatnot, and it's just no.
Okay.
It's a no.
That's it. So Bebo Pilsner is our choice. If you need to stock the cooler with craft beer for your watch party, get some Bebo. Well, that about wraps it up for this episode of the Beer Guys Radio Show. As we mentioned a little bit earlier, coming up next week, we're going to play our show from the Atlanta Cask Ale Tasting that we actually recorded last weekend. We're going to be talking to a lot of Georgia's upcoming brewers. We also, if you listen to the podcast, we're going to have an extra segment in there where we got to talk to UK beer writer and judge Rob McCardle, who knows a lot about cask ale. So make sure to tune in and hear that. For more craft beer info, follow us online. We are Beer Guys Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Thanks again for tuning in. Have a great week, and don't forget to drink local. Cheers.
The Beer Guys Radio Show on the Beer Guys Radio Network. BeerGuysRadio.com.
Duke's Mayo. Do you get it? Because only the ones that get it really get it. Your friends get it. Your mom gets it. Your grandma gets it. Your neighbors get it. Sometimes a dog gets it. Get out of there. What else? Your potato salads get it. BLTs get it. Tailgates get it. And restaurants get it too. By now, even you probably get it. So get it today. Made without any sugar since 1917, Duke's is that little southern something that makes good things better. Get Duke's. It's got twang.